live by it, and glorify Christ. Amen. We're reading this morning from the New Testament, John chapter 11, verses 28 through 37. Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 28 through 37. And we are considering this morning the emotions of Jesus. Let us hear God's word. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. The Lord Jesus Christ had been threatened in the city of Jerusalem, and he had departed from the city. He had gone eastward across the Jordan River to safety, to the place where John the Baptist had first baptized. And while he was there, Martha and Mary, his friends, sent a message to him from Bethany, a suburb of Lazarus, of Jerusalem. And this message said that Lazarus, their brother and the friend of Jesus, whom he loved, was sick. So, that is the occasion for the Lord Jesus crossing back over the Jordan River, going toward the city of Jerusalem and coming to this suburb, Bethany, on the outskirts of Bethany, near the home of Martha and Mary, and Lazarus, who in the meantime had died. And when he came to that place, first, the sister Martha heard that he was there, and she went out from the house, she got up from the house and went out to meet Jesus, and they had a conversation. And then Jesus told her in verses 25 and 26, he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked her a question, "Do you believe this?" Martha confessed that she did believe that in verse 27. So that's where we pick up the text today. And as we do, we're going to look into the emotions of Jesus, a topic that is not spoken of so much in Scripture, but some. A topic that should be, and if it's not, I hope that it will be, very dear to us by the end of this sermon. When we study our Savior, we find out that He has two natures, divine and human. The Lord Jesus Christ is God and He is man. And this human nature is what we want to look at this morning. There are a couple of verses in Hebrews that summarize what we're saying today that I want to turn to this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 first. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And this is speaking of Jesus in Hebrews 2:14. As God's children have taken flesh and blood, so did Jesus. He shared in the same. The Lord Jesus took on a human body. And Hebrews 2:16 goes on to say, for indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Jesus took on the human nature. He came down from heaven. He took on a human body of flesh and blood. And he identified with us, human beings. And then furthermore, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read this, Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. The Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, came down from heaven, took on a human body with flesh and blood, and he is able to sympathize with us who are living in flesh and blood today. Now we're looking then at these two natures of Jesus, and especially at his human nature this morning. And this teaching of the Bible is summarized in the shorter catechism, question number 22. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. When Jesus left heaven and became a man also, he took upon himself the characteristics of human beings except for sin. He ate and he drank. He slept. He walked and he talked. He had friends and loved them. His eyes saw the beauty of the Father's creation. His ears heard the birds sing in the sky. He experienced pain and joy. And you probably don't think this very much of Jesus, but he also cried. He did the manly act of crying. Many men and women in our society think it isn't manly to cry. Well, it isn't manly to cry too much. It isn't manly to cry all the time. But it's a manly thing to cry. That's what this text is going to tell us. So let's look at the emotions of Jesus this morning. We human beings are emotional beings. Do you hate as much as I hate to call and hear a mechanical voice say, please listen to the following options? I love it when I hear a human voice on the telephone. When I was 30 years old, I never thought I would ever say that. It had never entered my mind back then. Because humans used to answer telephones. For you young people, you don't know what I'm talking about. We are not robots, and we don't sound like robots. The Lord Jesus was not a robot. We have feelings, and so does He. The Lord Jesus Christ rejoices with those who rejoice, and He weeps with those who weep. Our Savior, God and man, has emotions. He knows your feelings, and He is able to understand them, and to minister to you. So today, we consider this subject, the emotions of Jesus, and on your bulletin on the back page, you'll see the outline for this sermon. First of all, Jesus groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. He showed his emotions by groaning in the Spirit and being troubled. After she had talked to Jesus, Martha went back to the home and she spoke to Mary in verse 28. She called her sister saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." Mary quickly came to Jesus in verse 29, and Jesus was still outside on the outskirts of the town, still had not come to the home, as we're told in verse 30. So Mary was accompanied by Jewish friends in verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." They didn't understand what she was doing, but they did follow her out to meet with Jesus. And Mary actually met with Jesus in verse 32. She fell down at his feet and she said in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, look back a little bit to verse 21. Verse 21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" They said exactly the same thing. Both of the sisters said exactly the same thing. "Lord, had you been here, Lazarus' body wouldn't be in the tomb right now. You could have kept him from dying." And it doesn't appear that it was even in their minds that Jesus was going to raise him right now from very death. They seem to have thought that Jesus had to be present to do something, and he had to be present before Lazarus died. That's as far as their faith would let them go. Now, does that describe you? And does that describe me? What are the limits of our faith? Now, there is a verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that we should consider when we pray. I don't think we consider it when we pray very much. I think we consider it under other circumstances. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Listen to this. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." Did you get that? "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Is that in your mind when you pray? Not only is he able to do what you ask for, if you ask for it according to his will, remember, that's a big if. If you ask according to his will, he is not only able to answer that and to supply that, if it is his will, but to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you ask or think. This wasn't in Mary's mind that day. It wasn't in Martha's mind that day previously. And it isn't in our minds a lot, is it? He could do what she said. Yes, he could have kept Lazarus from dying, and he could have done it from a distance. He didn't even have to be there. But he could do and would do exceedingly abundantly above all that she thought. So Lord, help us to remember that when we pray. Now then in verse 33, Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, here come his emotions. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled when he saw her weeping and when he saw the Jews with her weeping. He groaned in the spirit. And the word for weeping here of Mary and the Jews refers to loud weeping and wailing. It was customary in those times for people to weep that way, with loud demonstrations to show their grief, with a lot of noise, in other words. When Jesus saw this, when he understood they were weeping, then he groaned in the spirit, verse 33 says. He was moved in his spirit, or the soul inside of him was moved. The word indicates deep emotion. Even the word even indicates indignation and anger. That's kind of strange, isn't it? They were weeping and Jesus was, as the word is used here, having indignation and anger. Jesus was thinking not like they were thinking, of course. They were thinking Lazarus is dead and you, Jesus, could have done something about it, but you're too late. That's what they were thinking. And Jesus was thinking, human beings, even my disciples, have been so affected by sin that they are confused, that they don't understand, that they grieve and sorrow in ways they really shouldn't. And this emotion of Jesus went on to compassion and sympathy, as we said before from the book of Hebrews. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And as the Lord Jesus saw them in their confusion, he thought about the human predicament in sin and how sin has affected our lives and this entire world, the way we look at things, the way we think of things. And he had these emotions. And in verse 33, not only did he groan in the spirit, but he was troubled, or he troubled himself, or he shook himself, literally. He was upset about this human condition and that we are in this human condition. He was moved by the misery and pain that human beings feel in their sinfulness, their weakness and incompleteness. The emotions that you and I know regularly every day of our lives, the Lord Jesus knows and understands. But of course, there is no sin in his emotions. There is no sin in anything about him. But first of all, then, Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And secondly, Jesus wept. In verse 34, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, this is a different Greek word underlying this English translation than we had previously, where Mary and the Jews were weeping. This is a different Greek word here. It is a word that means to shed tears. And a proper translation of this verse, the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, would be, Jesus cried. Jesus shed tears. One commentator even says Jesus burst into tears. And it's not very common for us to think about that. Jesus actually shed tears. So do you. So do I. We are human beings. That's part of our makeup. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows every tear you shed. Every single one. And he knows why. He knows why you shed them. These tears of Jesus were tears of love and sympathy, not because Lazarus had died. He knew he was going to raise him momentarily. He was not upset about that. But he was upset at our condition. He was upset because we don't know how to handle the problems of life. We don't know how to face death. We are weak within ourselves. We are full of sin. Sin has left its mark on us. And we are far from being what we should be. And we are far from understanding what we should understand. And that's what Jesus came to fix. Due to our sin, we experience misery and confusion. And Jesus shed tears here at the grave of Lazarus, but not because Lazarus was dead. It is not wrong or sinful for us to shed tears. It is rather normal. I remember at my father's funeral, I spoke. But I wasn't the only one who spoke. I spoke briefly, and someone commented to me afterwards, "Your voice cracked only once." And this is the way we tend to look at things. You are bold and courageous if you don't cry. You are bold and courageous if your voice doesn't crack. Maybe so. There's something to be said for boldness and courage. There's also something to be said for shedding tears. I'll tell you this. The one crack in my voice when I spoke was not the only show of emotion at my father's funeral. That's for sure. And I'm not a bit ashamed of it. It is not wrong for us to shed tears. It is not a sign of weakness for us to shed tears. It is a sign of humanness. It is a sign of being created in the image of God. It is a sign of humanness. To be cold and stoical is no sign of grace. But when Christians do weep, we do not weep as the world. We are to weep differently. We are to live differently as the people who are unconverted. There is to be the evidence of holiness and righteousness within us, though we're not perfect. We are not even to weep as the world weeps, for we are told in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep," that is, those who have died, "that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." 1 Thessalonians 4:13. If we grieve and if we shed tears as those who have no hope, we are grieving as the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection and His saving work and the forgiveness that He grants us for our sins are all reasons for hope as we weep, even at the grave of our loved ones. Our High Priest Jesus wept in sympathy for human beings and for His people. Thirdly, Jesus loves. In verse 36, "Then the Jews said," after Jesus wept, "then the Jews said, 'See how He loved Him.'" The Jews thought He was weeping for Lazarus because Lazarus was dead. That wasn't the case. It is legitimate to weep for someone who has died. Especially someone you love. But that, at this point, was not why Jesus was weeping. He knew again that Lazarus would be raised very soon. He was weeping for another reason. He had love for human beings. He had love for his people, and he still does. And he wants us, and he teaches us, and he enables us to understand things on a deeper level and to live this life with more hope and security. In John 15:13, we read, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15:13. Did Jesus love Lazarus? Well, of course he did. And though these Jews mentioned in verse 36 did not understand about Jesus' love, they do point out something that is true. He has a great love for human beings. He has a love that is special for his own people. And I'm reminded again of this great hymn from the 11th century, an anonymous hymn from the 11th century that we still sing in the church today, "Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee." And this hymn, having just mentioned those who seek for Jesus, it continues. Those who seek for Jesus, but what to those who find? Ah, this, says the hymn. Nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. We know the love of Jesus if we have professed faith in Him. If we have been born again and repented of our sins, we know the love of Jesus Christ. And those standing by with Jesus at this point did not understand it, but at least they got a glimpse of what they thought it was. Is your understanding of the love of Jesus accurate? Do you even think of the love that Jesus Christ has for you and all His people? Does it occur to you when you are going through the everyday struggles of life that the love of Jesus is still with you? It's something we have to concentrate on or we miss it. And there are many who misunderstand the love of Jesus, like these standing with Him beside the grave, and they think it is something, and they think that He is someone whom we can use just like we use other things and other persons in this world. And so they hear the love of Jesus here, the love of Jesus there. The church today is quick to preach the love of Jesus, I tell you. I'm not against preaching the love of Jesus. That, in fact, is what I'm just doing, obviously. But so many times it's preached exclusive of His justice. So many times it's preached as if Jesus hid His eyes from our sins. It is preached as if Jesus has no discernment between hypocrisy and true commitment to Him. The love of Jesus Christ is discerning. It is not a love that overlooks hypocrisy. It is not a love that just plainly overlooks sin. It is a love that calls us to live better lives. It is a love that is observant when someone tries to use that to their advantage. Some people think they can follow Jesus and live any way they want. That is just not true. If you are truly the recipient of His love, you will continue to confess your sins. You will continue to examine your life. you will continue in the power of the Holy Spirit to strive to be obedient to the one who died for you. Jesus does love his own. Fourthly, we see here how the emotions and the works of Jesus are misunderstood. In verse 37, some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" So here we go again, similar to what Martha said first, similar to what Mary said, and then said again with a little bit different twist, remembering that this man, as recorded in John chapter 9, healed the man who had been born blind in the city of Jerusalem. Since he did this, well, couldn't he kept this man from dying? Couldn't he have kept this man from dying? Again, not recognizing that he could do something right then and there for Lazarus who was already dead. You know what strikes me about this is, no matter how much he gives us, we always want more. He came there. He came over to Bethany, having his life previously threatened. He came back to this suburb of Jerusalem. He was there to weep with them and to comfort them. And they say, in essence, what we say, in essence, "What have you done for me lately? What are you doing for me this moment, right now?" No matter how much he does, we always want more. Listen to this in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Do you want more? Sometimes I say, cynically, that's the American way. We want more. We always want more. Now, that's not really the American way. This nation was founded by people who loved the Lord and worshiped Him. But it is true that many Americans are never satisfied. And even from the Lord, we want more. We even have the audacity to ask Him for more. Do you misunderstand the emotions and works of Jesus? Jesus doesn't weep just because Lazarus is dead. Jesus is not going to raise Lazarus just so his sisters and he can enjoy his presence on earth a few more days. Jesus is thinking of something higher and something more. The glory of God. His love is pure and holy. His works are done just not for the benefit of human beings, but for the glory of His Father in heaven. And He is raising our thoughts and goals and works as well to that God tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. So, we've thought about the emotions of Jesus. He has emotions, He has feelings, and He is our sympathetic high priest. His emotions are pure, holy, and high. So in response to what we've meditated upon, by the power of God's Spirit, let us ask Him to purify our emotions, to take away our selfishness, that we love God above all else, and our neighbor as ourselves. And I know that's not always easy. It isn't easy to love someone who hates you. It isn't easy to love someone who mocks you. It isn't easy to love someone who takes every opportunity to put you down. But that's what we're called to do. To love them with the love of Christ. To pray for them. And seek that they know the joy of Christ as we know it. After all, they're very miserable people who want to hurt us. And then let us, since the emotions of Jesus identify with us, and since His love is with us, since we know He loves us, let us do what 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "And cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us." Cast all your anxiety upon Him. Cast all your... Let me stop there. Have you ever had anxiety recently? Boy, do we know what anxiety is. You know, I was trying this week to get prescriptions because it turned over a new year. If you haven't noticed, you know, time passes really fast and we're in February already. And since January 1st, I've been trying to get my prescriptions turned over to a new health insurance. And I get anxious. I get anxious when these medications that are supposed to keep me alive are sitting on some shelf in some city far away, and people are saying, "Did you call so-and-so?" And I call them and they say, "Did you call so-and-so?" And I call them and they say, "Did you call Party C?" Yes, I'm anxious. And I'm anxious because I'm a human being and I'm a sinner. And your burdens, cast your burdens on Him. And your sins, cast your sins on Him. And your feelings, cast your feelings upon Him, because He has feelings for you. And He cares for you because He is your sympathetic high priest if you are a child of God. And then, let us come boldly to the throne of grace and pray that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus has emotions. Jesus cares. Amen. Let us pray.